We're in Jude, the book of Jude, verse number 11. And here the brother Jude is writing. He's writing to those of that day and writing to us today to about these that will sneak in, creep in unawares. In verse number 4, there are certain men crept in unawares. And he's using that present tense. They're at hand. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. They're devoid of the Spirit of God. They don't care about the things of the Lord. They care about self. They care about what they can do. They care about what they can get from the sheep and gain from the sheep. All right? Jude 4, are these certain men crept in unawares. He's warning us about them. All right? They're taking the good things, the favor, the grace of God, turning it into lasciviousness. They only want to seek to please themselves. These are sensual. They are devilish. They are physical, as James says. They only know what they can touch and smell and see. That's all they're about. And they'll come in amongst the people of God and in the churches of God to do nothing but destroy. Just like we saw last Sunday about the sheepfold and the one that doesn't come by the door, right? He's a thief, a robber, and a destroyer. He's drawn some parallels, okay? He's put us in remembrance in verse number 5 and drawn some parallels about those that the Lord delivered out of Egypt and how he was not pleased with those that did not believe. In verse number 6, about the angels, they kept not their first estate. They did not believe what God said. They thought that Lucifer had a better idea. About those at Sodom and Gomorrah, after all, they were a very progressive lot, weren't they? No pun intended. But they were progressive. Oh, we're free. We can do as we want to. No, the Lord's ordained the way it ought to be. In intimacy, it ought to be between a man and a woman in the bonds of marriage, and that's it. No other wickedness, no other corruption. Filthy dreamers, verse 8. Giving us something here about what Michael did when contending with the devil about Moses' body. He doesn't say, I say this to you and I say that to you. But he said, the Lord rebuke thee. And that's where we stand as the Lord's people today. We say what the Lord says. We tell it again. We repeat it. We say, thus saith the Lord. This is wrong. This is right. Because God says it's wrong or right. Not what we think. Verse 10, they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know is naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone after the way of Cain. We've seen about that. The way of Cain is a self-righteous way, a selfish way, a carnal way, a way that's away from God. They've ran greedily after the error of Balaam, and we've spent much time on that for reward. Balaam couldn't curse the people of God, but he found another way that he could give counsel and advice to Midian so that he might get some of that stuff that they had. And you know what? It cost him his life, didn't it? And then this afternoon we're here and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. Perished in the gainsaying of Kori, or that is Korah in the Old Testament scriptures. The word gainsaying is a very interesting word, and the Lord helped me, and I didn't put this in my notes, I just recalled it, how it was, but helped me to understand about this word gainsaying. When we take a look over here quickly, over here in Acts chapter 10, when the Lord's dealing with Cornelius, and the angel appeared unto Cornelius, and he tells him to call for Peter. And he tells him in verse 6, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And then the Lord deals with Peter there in Joppa. And he tells him in verse number 20, arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, these men that are sent from Cornelius. And listen, if you can read and you've got a Bible, open that Bible up and listen to what God's saying to you, okay? If you can read and you've got a Bible, open that Bible up and look at this. You need to see this. Arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, the Lord says to Peter about those fellows that are at the door there, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Key words, doubting nothing, okay? And so then Peter goes and he goes here to Cornelius's place, and he says here, he appears to him. He comes to Cornelius's place. Verse number 26, Peter took him up because Cornelius wanted to bow down before him. And Cornelius had gathered all his kin and those of his household together. In verse number 29, Peter says this, "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore to what intent ye have sent for me." Gainsaying, it means doubting. Doubting. The doubting of Korah perished in the doubting of Korah, the gainsaying of Korah. This that Brother Stephen passed out to you, let's go over here quickly to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, we'll take a look at a little bit of genealogy here, kind of set the stage for these folks we're going to be looking at here this afternoon. In Exodus chapter 6, Exodus chapter 6. Genealogy is hard to keep track of in your mind. I have a terrible time with it, getting all the names straight, especially when you got guys, fellows with names that are near to the same. It's good to map it out, right, Brother Mark? Brother Mark likes genealogy. Stephen likes genealogy, works in it. And I tell you what, I do a lot better with a picture than I do with words. And so I thought I'd go ahead and do this to help us out. Here in Exodus chapter 6, we'll come down here to verse number 16. Exodus 6, verse number 16. And the scripture says here, "And these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations. Gershon." Okay, see him there in the first column. Levi's over here at the left. Then in the next column, the second column, I guess we would say, is Gershon. That's one of his sons. Kohath. Remember him, and Merari. Okay, so those are the three sons of Levi. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. So I put his age there by his name. The sons of Gershon, so go up there to him, Libni and Shimei. Here's a fine source of names for those of you young enough to have more children. They're kind of different, aren't they? I'm sure they would think that Jim is weird. So those are his two sons, okay, according to their families. And then the sons of Kohath, again, remember him, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel, okay. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years, so I put his age there for you. And the sons of Merari, Mahalai, and Mushi, these are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife. There was nothing wrong with that. The Lord had not given anything, any directive about who should marry who until he did so in the law. And it came forth at the time that the Lord gave the law to Israel for the sake of future generations, okay? So there was nothing wrong with this then, but then the Lord prescribed things, and I believe there are moral things that apply to all peoples in the law of the Lord that he gave to Israel, because the Lord knows how sin is breaking us down, and he knew that. He knew that at that time, but there was nothing wrong with this. He took to him Jochebed, his father's sister's wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. So you see those over there from Amram. And the years of life of Amram were 137 years, so there's his age. And the sons of Izhar, okay, Kohath's other son, second son, as we have it listed here, Korah. And so there's the fellow that Jude is speaking about and that we're going to look at. The sons of Izhar, Korah, Nepheg, and Zichri, okay. Or Zichri. All right, so we have the lineage of this. Levi to Kohath to Izhar to Korah. Now I want you to look here. Korah is what? What's he to Moses and Aaron? Cousins. They're cousins. Their daddies were brothers. Okay? So now let's go over here to Numbers chapter 16. The gainsaying of Korah. The doubting of Korah. We've got to watch out about doubting the Lord. Because when Jude is speaking about that doubting, that gainsaying of Korah, that doubting, that gainsaying is against the Lord. Okay, understand that. It's not his mistake against a man, but it's his mistake against the Lord, his doubt against what the Lord had ordered. Let's look here. In verse number 1 of number 16, now Korah, the son of Izhar, okay, you can see that there on the genealogical map, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and then we got some other fellows that are in here, and Dathan and Amram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Okay, so what it did is it told about Dathan and Amram, who were the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben. Now, Reuben's another tribe. Levi is a tribe. Reuben is a tribe. Okay, so there's two tribes there. You've got Kohath. And then you got these fellas over here from the tribe of Reuben also. Okay? They're in the mix of this thing. Dathan and Abiram. Okay? They took men. They gathered up a contingent. They stirred up some issue and some strife because the way things were going, they didn't think it was going too hot. They didn't like it. They didn't like what was happening. Now understand that Reuben camps, you can say, well, how did those guys know each other? I mean, because, you know, Israel is like, could be 1.5 million strong at this point, maybe 1.5 million, could be larger. How do these fellows know each other? Well, they're leaders, okay? They're leaders in Israel. And understand about the way the camp of the Israelites went is the tabernacle, the testimony, the tabernacle was in the middle of the camp. And if I understand it right, the Levites, Numbers chapter 2 tells us about that, the Levites camped all around it because they had the tending to that. And then Numbers chapter 2 tells us about how it was that those 12 tribes, not including Levi, because Levi's inheritance was the Lord. Levi was going to get, their inheritance was the Lord. They weren't going to get any land. The 12 tribes that the Lord had, two tribes out of Joseph, right? Manasseh and Ephraim, that's how there was 12. They camped around Levi. So the camp of Reuben, how would it be with the leadership? Would the leadership camp close to the middle so they could have access to Moses sooner? Would they camp in the middle of their particular tribe? I don't know. I don't know how it was. But it could well be there that Reuben, with where he was on the south side, it tells us that in Numbers 2, could have been right up there against Levi. And this Dathan and Abiram and Kohath, they were just right across the street from each other. Right across the aisle from each other. That's supposition on my part. But just to understand, because we're going to see something here that's going to happen with where they dwell. Okay? So something's going to happen with where they live. Their tents. Something's going to happen to all three of these fellas. And they had to be in close proximity, seemingly, one to another. Seems to be. Well, they're dissatisfied with things. And so it says here in verse 2, they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes. Yeah, they got a bunch of fellows stirred up about this thing. Of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These are fellows that are well known. These are the leaders amongst Israel. Some of the leaders over 10,000s and thousands and hundreds and such as that, as the Lord had it broke up, as Moses had it determined, and they did so amongst their tribes. And they gathered themselves, verse 3, together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, here's their problem. Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? They said, we don't like the way you're leading things. And there's nothing more special about you than there is about us. We don't like it. Ye take too much upon you. Now look at this. If a man called to the Lord would rise up in the flesh, boy, he could really get in trouble, couldn't he? But I want you to see what the man of God did, the man indeed that was called of the Lord. See what he did when he heard this thing come to his ears. They gather themselves, 250 of them, besides Kohath, Dathan, and Abiram. They come to Moses and Aaron and probably came down there near to the tabernacle. I don't know. But look what Moses does. Moses knows this is trouble. Remember what the Lord says about Moses? He's the meekest man in all the earth. That means that Moses could have whipped a lot of men. But just because he could, he didn't. Moses could have been physical. He was fit, okay? But just because he could whip fellas, he didn't do it. Look what Moses does. I tell you what, this takes humility on the part of the man of God. And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. They come there and they meet Moses and Aaron and they say what their gripe is. You know what? Before 250 plus men and whoever else was standing around, Moses gets down on his face to the ground. Isn't that something? He says that I think what's being conveyed here to us is that we understand Moses knows this is trouble. He knows this is trouble for Israel. He knows this is trouble for these men, and he knows this is trouble for their families. Because see, they've not stood up against Moses. They've stood up against God. That's what's happened. Because you know why Moses is called to be the deliverer and the leader of the children of Israel? Because God's called him to do it. And not because he was fit, not because he was able, not because there was anything in him that made him a better candidate than any other. But it's the calling of the Lord upon him. You know who made Aaron the priest? Well, Moses did, right? No, God did. And was Aaron fit to be a priest? Well, I tell you what, we go back and we rewind a little bit and what he did over there when the children of Israel came to Mount Sinai, what he did there didn't make him too fit, did it? But the Lord sought to use him that way and the Lord called him. And so when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And so Moses falls down on his face there before the Lord, before them. You know what? I didn't look this up. This just occurred to me. You know, I think it's Caleb that declares, and one of the times in the wanderings of the children of Israel, that there are those that go about the camp and prophesy. And they're jealous. Either Joshua or Caleb, or I think it was maybe some of the priests or something. And they're jealous for the sake of Moses. And they say, Moses, look over there. There's those in the camp that are prophesying, essentially saying, shut them down. They're not supposed to be doing that. You're the ones that's supposed to be doing that. And Moses says, would to God that all the children of Israel would prophesy. See, Moses is comfortable in his calling, and he doesn't have to hang on to his calling because he's been called to the Lord. And that's the way it is. This is a warning not only to the people of God, but this is a warning to the men of God too, and an example to the men of God. You know how long I'll stay pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church? Lord being my helper and me listening to the Lord, I'll stay pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church as long as the Lord wants me to be pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church. And any man that would come in, there was one that said one time, "I won't cause you any trouble. I won't deal you any fit." I told him, "Well, if the Lord wants you to be pastor here, he'll do it. And that's okay." Because see, the calling's of the Lord. I need to do well. And I'm no Moses. I'm not saying that. But a pastor of a church is the closest thing we got to it in the day. And I'm not to beat the sheep. And the sheep, we are to listen. And all of us together to the Lord. Follow me while I'm following the Lord. I don't follow the Lord, don't follow me. Okay? But the man of God has been called by the Lord and placed there by the Lord. And he's going to be there as long as the Lord wants him. And if he bucks against the Lord about it, the Lord will whip on him. And if people of God will buck about it, then the Lord will whip on them. Because see, all of us, we need to be in tune to what the Lord wants, don't we? Leadership of the Lord. The Lord is leading. And we need to be spiritual enough and in fellowship and in tune with the Lord enough to know what he is leading in. He is leading. We just got to hear it, okay? So here, Moses, he wasn't jealous. He said, "Get censers and we'll find out tomorrow. Get these censers. Put fire in them, put incense in them." He said, "The Lord will choose who he has called." And then he tells them this. He says, "Ye take," in the latter part of verse 7, "ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." Because see, Moses knows what the Lord has done. Moses knows that he's placed Aaron and his lineage in the priesthood. Moses knows what God has said about the different Levite families and the different places that they were supposed to occupy. And he hadn't heard any different. The Lord hadn't told him any different. Verse 8, "And Moses said to Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself and to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" Do you think that's a light thing? Are you looking for something else? That's what God has done for you. You're in the middle of the camp because God has put you in the middle of the camp. And all the different things that you have to do with the tabernacle of the testimony, God has ordained that. And you think that's little? He goes on in verse number 10, "And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also." Because remember, the gripe was against Moses and against Aaron. And so now the Lord's given you what he wants you to do. And now you want to take the priesthood to you too? You don't have any directive from God to do that. You don't have any directive from the Lord to do that. God, the Lord's ordered this. There was a whole thing. There's a whole thing that was done in all the sanctifying of all the instruments and the sanctifying of Aaron and his sons. There's a whole thing that was done. That just wasn't for fun. God was serious about it. And he said, "You want to bring the priesthood to you too? For which cause," verse 11, "both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord." And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? understand what he's saying there? He says, fellas, this is the reason Moses is on his ground, on his face on the ground. He says, "Don't you know what you're speaking is directly against God?" Aaron is in the place that he's in because God's put him there. You're not murmuring against Aaron. Aaron didn't take this to himself. What was it Moses said at the beginning? "I can't lead the people of Israel out. I can't speak. I can't do. I can't go." But the Lord said, "No, you're going. Now, who was it that called Aaron? Aaron's, it wasn't a thing. Well, we're taking nominations for the priesthood. And Aaron said, well, I'll do it. Wasn't that way, was it? God said, Aaron's going to be the priest and his sons are going to be the priest. And that's the way it's going to be. I said, what is Aaron that you murmur against him? See, he's saying, what are you looking to strive against a man for? All this thing is bigger than the men that you see being at the front. This is God's work. And God's put the directive on me, and he's put the directive on Aaron for these places. And he's put the directive on you as to what you're supposed to be doing. Why are you picking this up against men? You're bucking against God. Against the word of the Lord. And verse number 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. See, these were of the tribe of Reuben, which said, we will not come up. Whoa. He said, go get those guys and let them come up here. They need to hear the truth. They need to be rebuked. They need to understand what's going on here. And they said, no, we do not respect you being put as our leader by the Lord. And again, it's not an affront to Moses. It's an affront to God. They're resisting Moses is not really an issue. What it is them not respecting what Moses told them to do, to come there to him, to hear like these other 250 that are at hand. So we will not come up. We're not listening to you. We don't respect you as our leader. Verse 13, here was the message that they sent. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land of that floweth with milk and honey? That's a reference to Egypt. Wow. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land of which floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? They despised the leadership of Moses. They despised what the Lord had ordained. What is it that these fellows lack? Is the Lord going to take them to the land of milk and honey? Yeah. Shake your head up and down. God said he's going to do it. Will he do it? Yeah. Will he do it in their time? Nope. He'll do it in his time. They lack patience. Let us not joke about it. We know that it's so. Let us not joke about it, because we lack patience at times too, don't we? But see, if God has said it, he's going to do it. And so much of service of the Lord, we have the news that comes at an instant where we're challenged or we're pressed or we're saddened or we're sorrow. We've got test results that come back from the doctor that are bad. We've got word that comes about a wreck or an accident. We've got some threatening thing that comes about, and we hear about it at one point in time, and then we have to wait for quite a bit of time to find out what's next. We pray to our Lord that he would work, that he would bless, that he would deliver. And we got to wait. The biggest part of our service and our walk with the Lord is waiting. Oh, there's different things. We hear about one being saved. We prayed and prayed in them for days, months, weeks, years. We pray and pray and we wait and we wait and we pray and we wait, and we hear of them being saved. The joy comes at a point. But we spend a lot of time praying, being concerned about them, and waiting. You see what I'm saying? The biggest part of this walk with the Lord and our service to the Lord is waiting. These fellows didn't want to wait. They want something now. And they thought they had the answer. But who's got the answer? The Lord. He's got the answer. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey, and that's a slam, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? Well, we will not come up. He said, look around. They're saying, look around here. Is this so great? You want to make yourself a prince over us and rule over us and just keep us out here in the wilderness forever? What was it? They forgot what God had said. They forgot that the Lord said, your fathers were disobedient. I'm going to run you around out in the wilderness till they die. And then I'm going to take the children in. They forgot it. And you know, that can happen to us if we forget what God says in His Word, can't it? He said, we put out the eyes of these men. He said, are they blind to it too? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth. It got under his skin. And said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Moses, I believe he hates this confrontation. He is upset by their accusation. Moses knows that what he has done is the Lord said, pick up and leave. They forgot about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire is still with them leading them, isn't it? Moses knows he's done everything that the Lord has told him to do. Being a man, being human, he has tried to follow that the best that he could. See, he's been accused of a thing when he knows that everything that's been done has been what the Lord has said to do. He said, I haven't hurt them. I haven't done them wrong. I've looked to be obedient. He said, respect not their offering. I tell you what, if Moses said to the Lord, respect that not Jim's offering, Jim ought to be scared. Because remember how it was with Moses? The Lord spoke with Moses as apparently face to face. Not because Moses was special, but because the Lord did that with him. Verse 16, and Moses said to Korah, unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. So he tells them what to do. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. So they right up there by the tabernacle. Moses is in a sense, and sometimes it is, and said he's essentially saying the Lord's going to judge between us. The Lord judge between thee and me. Well, that's serious. That is really, really serious. Verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Seems like in that night, Korah and his gang and those 250 stirred up the rest of the people. And the Lord says, back away. I'm going to get rid of them all. And look at the heart of Moses. Look at the heart of Aaron. They, once again, they intercede, don't they? Separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them. Korah, verse 19, gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. The Lord said, get away, separate yourselves. I'm going to consume them. But Moses and Aaron say, Lord, be merciful. Is one man's sin going to bring this upon the entire people? Moses indeed had desire for the people, didn't he? He did. That's the reason he fell on his face. That Moses fell on his face when they first brought this accusation to him and this point of strife to him. Moses' desire is that they would be repentant. Maybe they would go home and consider that, you know what, putting that incense and that fire in that censer, that's serious business. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this. What the Lord said is what ought to be done. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 23, speaking to the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men. They continued on in their folly, didn't they? He said, separate yourselves from their tent, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing that is theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them in mine own mind. He's been sent. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ was sent. Just like you and I are sent, we need to do what the will of the Lord is. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, they die a natural death, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord, not me, not Moses, not Aaron, but the Lord. The doubting of Korah. Isn't it interesting that in accounts like this and things like this and strife like this, there's not just usually one, but one stirs up more and gets a contingent together. Remember what the scripture says, these men were famous. Famous in the congregation, verse 2, men of renown. You know, but fame and renown isn't an indicator of whether one is spiritual or not. Spirituality is shown by obedience to the Lord and pursuit of His word. And pursuit of what the truth is, and pursuit of what the will of God is. These men have provoked, then shall you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Verse 31, and it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words, as Moses, as those final words were going out of his mouth, that the ground clave asunder and was under them, that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and their goods. Korah and his tent, Dathan and his tent and family, and Abiram and his. It didn't matter that they were in different tribes. The Lord opened up the ground and swallowed them up. The earth closed upon them. Verse number 33, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So Korah and Dothan and Abiram, Korah of the tribe of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram of the tribe of Reuben, and their households, as they stood boldly in their tent, thinking that what they were doing was right, they were consumed by the earth. And then those 250 men of the leadership of the other tribes of Israel, fire went out from the Lord and consumed them. What a terrible, terrible thing. Moses, when they first brought that to him and he got on his face down on the ground, he knew that it was bad, didn't he? He knew that it was bad. Moses being in tune with the Lord and Moses being in fellowship with the Lord, Moses being called to the Lord, these men, rather than listening to the word of God as it had been given and holding to those promises of the Lord, they held to what they thought and they were consumed. Verse 36, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed, the censers of all these sinners against their own souls. Boy, that's the Lord speaking. They bucked against what the Lord had said. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith that they were burnt and wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering for of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. We're going to stop right there for this time. And all those censers, that fire came out from the Lord, and all those censers were beaten into plates and used as a covering for the altar. And you know what? The children of Israel had directive from the Lord to come and bring sacrifices at different times of the years for themselves, for the family, different fulfillments in that. When they had to do that, where they had to lay their hand on the goat and such as that, all those different things. And those folks, when they would come into to come to the tabernacle and come inside where the tent, the curtains were and that, and bring their offering in there for it to be sacrificed for them, they would see those coverings and they would remember. We need to follow the leadership of the Lord, not what we're thinking. We don't need to buck against the order that the Lord set up. We need to follow what the Lord says. The man of God that's following the word of the Lord, he needs to be followed because he's been put there by the Lord. He doesn't follow the word of God, don't need to follow him. But all of us together need to follow what the Lord says. If we doubt the Lord, Mary and Martha this morning, we looked at them. They doubted the power of the Lord, didn't they? And again, we're not looking to rail on them or beat them down. But it's a witness and a testimony to us. Let us not doubt what the Lord says. God means what he says in his word. He really, really means it. It's serious. It is serious business. And may we seek his face in everything. And may we follow his order in everything. And may we all pray one for another that we might do and behave and follow and obey together what the Lord's given us to do. Myself as pastor, that I would be obedient. You as members of the church, myself as a member of the church, that we would be obedient. And that we would seek the Lord's face, that he would help us, that we might know the way he would have us to go. That we not be doubters, not following Korah doubted the order of the Lord, the way that the Lord has established. May we not doubt that.